Welcome back to Footcast 015 for March 2007. This is part two of the podcast. The first half can be heard on a separate download, available now from our website.
Okay, now it's time we heard from our folk guru, Baba. This month, in order to find out the story behind the song, he's been unriddling the bawdy Jacobite ballad, Come Ye O'er Frey France, and what a tale he's found.
There are many themes that crop up regularly in folk music, and I hope we'll have time to consider many of them in this series, but today, let's look at the celebratory song, the rousing song, the song to put fire in the bellies of your companions and discomfort your opponents. In short, let's look at Come Ye O'er Frey France. It's a Jacobite song. It dates from 1715, and oh, I remember it as if it was yesterday. The last Roman Catholic King of England, James II of the Scottish House of Stuart, had fled to France following the Glorious Revolution in 1688. His Protestant daughter, Mary, and her husband, William of Orange, reigned until 1702. Mary's sister, Anne, acceded to the throne but died childless in 1714, and the monarchy passed to a new line, the House of Hanover. George I was now King of England. He was an unpopular choice for many. He was German, he never learned English, and he brought with him a court of impoverished German gentlewomen, many of whom were suspected to be his mistresses. Now that alone would provide enough material for many ribald songs, but Come Ye O'er Frey France, despite being probably the sharpest, most rapier-like satire, has another quality, the expectation of a change of monarch in the very near future. James II, king in exile, had died in 1701, but he had a son, James III, who had come of age in 1706, and he was quite keen on taking back the throne. He's usually referred to in Britain as the Old Pretender, and this song anticipates the attempt he would make to regain what he saw as his birthright, an attempt that was probably just days away. He'd had one pop in 1708, trying to invade with an army of 6,000 French, but he was, shall we say, deterred by the Royal Navy. James III was in correspondence with the Scottish Earl of Mar, and in 1715 he called on him to raise the clans for a serious shot at the throne. The Earl summoned all the clan leaders to a grand hunting match on the 27th of August of that year. Revolutionary plans were made at that meeting, and the Earl proclaimed 9 days later that James III, the Old Pretender, was their lawful sovereign, and he raised the ancient Scottish standard. Given that this attempt to reclaim the throne for a Scots dynasty was going to fail at the Battle of Preston on the 14th of November, Come Ye O'er Frey France must have been written sometime between late August and early November 1715.
Come ye o'er frey France, come ye doon by land and saw ye Geordie Welps and his bonny woman, were ye at the place, cared the kettle hoose.
Now, the song uses many dialect words, mainly because it was written by people who spoke that dialect, of course. But I wonder if that's also not deliberate. The true and extremely insulting meaning could only be understood by those who spoke the same language, those who supported a Scottish king over an imported German monarch. A little translation, then. Come ye o'er frey France, come ye doon by Lunnon, saw ye Geordie Welps and his bonny woman. Well, Geordie is a nickname for George, and a whelp, Geordie Welps, although associated with puppies these days, meant an ill-behaved child in the 18th century. And his bonny woman, well, a bonny woman was a reference to a woman of, shall we say, negotiable virtue. Were ye at the place called the Kittle Hoosie? A Kittle Hoosie was a Scots expression at the time for both a dance hall and a brothel, so make of that what you will. Saw ye Geordie's Grace riding on a goosey. Now, in his retinue, George had brought his favourite mistress, Madame Schulenburg, later the Duchess of Kendal. She was lean and haggard, and the Jacobites nicknamed her the Goose. So Geordie's Grace riding on a goosey, I will leave you to make up your own minds. Geordie, he's a man, and there's little doubt it. He's doing all he can. Who can do without it? Well, George is proving he's a man by sleeping by many women. He had many illegitimate children. So, boy, is he doing all he can. But then again, who can do without a little bit of loving? Doon there come a blade, linking like my lordy, he would drive a trade at the loom of Geordie. Well, Blade was a gallant gentleman, and this gentleman, almost certainly, Count von Königsmark of Sweden. The Count had been the illicit lover of George's first wife, Sophia, referred to as the loom of Geordie. And the Jacobites believed that George's son, George Augustus, later to be George II, was really fathered by Count von Königsmark. Though the claith were bad, blithely may we niffer. Well, blithely, cheerfully, to niffer was to barter with hidden objects, and the cloth being bad is a reference to George Augustus's illegitimacy. They're talking about bartering as to whether the father or the son should be on the throne. And there were many people in England who were asking the same questions. Gin we get a wab, it makes little differ. Well, gin is if, and a wab is a single bolt of cloth from a loom. In other words, it doesn't matter whether George I or his son is on the throne, because they're both as bad as each other. We hae tint our plaid, bonnet, belt and swordie, hars and mailings braid, but we hae a Geordie. Tint means lost, and the plaid is the traditional Highland dress. It's also used as a metaphor for the Scottish king in many other folk songs. So the Scots have lost their king, they've lost their traditional clothing, they've lost their farmlands, the mailings. In this case, their broad or braid mailings, farmlands. In fact, all they've got is a George for a king. Jockey's gone to France, and Montgomery's lady. There they'll learn to dance. Madam, are you ready? Jockey, although a common diminutive for any Scot, refers here to James III. But Montgomery's lady is just a little bit more complex. Mr. Montgomery was the pseudonym of Sidney, Earl of Godolphin, and he was the devoted chamberlain of James III's mother. As for learning to dance, well, dancing was often used as a metaphor for fighting in folk songs, leaving us with the meaning that the old pretender and his mother were in France preparing for a fight. They'll be back, believe, belted, brisk and lordly. Brawly may they thrive to dance a jig with Geordie. Well, believe means quickly, and brawly means cheerfully, so they were coming soon, keen to fight George I. Hey for Sandy Don, hey for Cockalorum, hey for Bobbing John and his Heland Quorum. Sandy Don is a reference to General Alexander Gordon, whilst Cockalorum was the nickname of the Marquis of Huntly, another prominent Jacobite. As for Bobbing John, well, that's the Earl of Mar, the man who brought the clan leaders, or the Highland Quorum, together in 1715. He got his nickname from his habit of changing sides, which he'd done three times before 1715, and in fact, he'd changed sides another three times before his death. Many a sword and lance swings at heel and hurdy. Well, your hip is your hurdy. How they'll skip and dance o'er the bummer Geordie. Probably doesn't need all that much translation. And now you know what it all means, let's enjoy Rachel and John Bowyer's version of Camier Frey France.
By land and saw ye Geordie whelps and his bonny woman, were ye at the place? Cared the kittle hoosie, saw ye Geordie's grace riding on a goosey. Geordie, he's a man, there is little doot out, he's done a he can. What can do without it? Down there came a blade, linking like my lordy, he would drive a trade at the loom of Geordie. Though the claith were bad, blithely may we niffer, can we get a wab? It makes little differ, we hate tint or plaid, bannet, belt and swordie, has and mallet's braid, but we hae a Geordie. Jockey's gone to France, and Montgomery's lady, they'll learn to dance. Madam, are ye ready? They'll be back, believe you. belted, brisk and lordy, brawly may they thrive to dance such a quid Geordie. Hey for Sandy Don, hey for Cockalorum, hey for Bobbing John, and his heel and quorum, money a sword and lance, swings at heel and hurdy, howl then skip and dance, o'er the bum of Geordie. Cammy your free France, Cammy doon by Lennon, saw ye Geordie whelps, and his bonny woman, were ye at the place? Get the kittle hussy, saw ye Geordie's grace, riding on a goosey.
So there you have it. A song that was deeply insulting to the monarch, and one that was intended to rouse and inspire the Jacobite forces for the return of their king, James III. As I mentioned at the start, the Jacobites were turned back at the Battle of Preston in November 1715, and they suffered a further defeat at the Battle of Sheriffmuir 4 days later. James III did land in Scotland late that December, but he was too consumed with fever and fits of melancholy to be much use to his supporters. James's councillors prevailed on him to abandon the attempt on the throne, and he left Scotland for ever on the 4th of February 1716. Look upon Camieux for France, then, as a remnant of a brief period when Scots' hopes were high for their legitimate king to once again sit on the throne of England, a period that lasted just a few short months. There would be another Jacobite attempt on the throne 30 years later, by Charles Edward Stuart, the son of James III. He's remembered by history as Bonnie Prince Charlie, or the Young Pretender, and again he'd be assisted by a force of French soldiers who planned to land at Tilbury. But that's another story, and that's another song. I'll see you next month.
Baba was finding the story behind the song there, with John and Rachel Bowyer providing the music, especially for Folkcast. Thanks to them all.
Time for another couple of themed tunes now. Celtic folk music is popular far and wide, so where do you think the musicians playing these next numbers hail from?
Thank you.
Celtic tunes there. And what might surprise you is that the bands playing them are not from Ireland or Scotland or Wales. First you heard Harmony Glen with a set of tunes they call Ploughman's Lunch. Five-piece Harmony Glen was founded in 2005 in the Netherlands.
And then you heard Doolin with The World's End, The College Groves and The Maid Behind the Bar. Doolin are from Switzerland. Ah, the lure of the old fiddly-diddly is strong and strange indeed. And now it's time for listeners' feedback, where people from all around the world have sent us emails to tell us what they think about the show. The first one is from Michael Hunter, who's from Adelaide in Australia. He says,
"Dear Wids and Ken, since you ask for songs that can be explored by Baba, and since he did such a fascinating job with Lord Franklin, I wonder if another Lord could be explored, namely Lord Marlborough, recorded by Furport on Angel Delight, as well as Maddie Pryor, and no doubt many others. It would be interesting to hear more details on the song, and the person behind it. Always enjoy listening to Folkcast. I've given it the odd plug on my own terrestrial radio show, Roots and Branches. That's on local station 3D Radio, which I hope has brought you another listener or two."
Thanks, Michael. Well, we'll set Baba onto Lord Marlborough, so keep listening to Folkcast and we'll hopefully get to him in a future edition. And thanks very much for the plug. Any help that anybody can give is always very welcome.
And this next email comes from Madeline Welsh.
She says, "I found your podcast after getting an iPod for Christmas and looking around iTunes. I really enjoy it and I'm finding it a real education. I've always loved folk music, possibly because I watched Bagpuss and Isla Sinclair's The Song and the Story as a little one, or possibly because all the songs in the church I grew up in were folk songs. I only recently discovered just how much of it there was, though, largely because I only recently worked out where to look for it. My favourite bit of your shows that I've heard so far is the piece about Lord Franklin. I love learning about history, and I learned also what the Hand of Franklin refers to in the song Northwest Passage. I'm looking forward to your next one. Well, hope you enjoyed this month's piece by Baba."
And Bill Cox-Martin writes to say,
"Hi, Ken and Phil. I've been listening to the show since you started, and I'd like to say how much I enjoyed each and how worthwhile it's been following up some of the more unknown artists that you featured, along with interviews of more established acts. Fantastic. In this month's show, you gave a mild plug to someone running a club in South Petherington, and he sounds as if he's going to get some great gigs. I was wondering if you might do the same for us and give a gig by the wonderful Megson at Ebsbourne Wake Village Hall on March 24th a mention. They are the first of our spring gigs, followed by Phil Beer and Miranda Sykes on April 27th and PJ Wright and Dave Pegg on May 19th, so some good stuff. Full details of those gigs can be found via our show notes, of course."
Way back in June last year, we spoke to PJ Wright, who told us about his tour with Furport Convention's bass man Dave Pegg. An album has now resulted from that duet. It's called Galileo's Apology, and it's rather good. Here, from Peggy and PJ, is the title track, Mr. Wright's own composition, Galileo's Apology.
Done by a bit of what you fancy, but I don't believe on Christmas Eve Santa climbs the chimney. Live and let live, I say, what goes round comes around, with a master plan in the grip of your hand, slip away without a sound. Through the witness of my senses, where every action's followed by a chain of consequences. You don't pin the dirty deed on demons or dark voices. Each determines how he lives as free will gives us choices. Go
Christian soldiers, praise be. Blood on the sword in the name of the Lord never ceases to amaze me. Spare me the fairy tales, dogma, theology. 300 years it took to give Galileo an apology. Rising moon, the turning of the season. Good luck to you, enjoy the view, and hold to what is pleasing. Do as you'd be done by, a little bit of what you fancy. But I don't believe on Christmas Eve Santa climbs the chimney.
King Edward, we went marching off to France, and at Crecy and at Poitiers we led the merry dance. But an end came to our business with the peace of Bretigny, so I joined with bold John Hawkwood and his free company. Well, we lived upon the bounty of that foreign countryside. We robbed and raped and drank our fill to the barrel it was dry. And the battle being empty, then the notion an appeal to beard the Pope in Avignon, his treasury to steal. We ride with Hawkwood's army, hear the church bells ring. With fire and sword we swarm abroad, and deadly is our sting. We ride with Hawkwood's army, down upon your knees, or scatter in the woods to wait for better days. But his holiness, he paid us off and sent us on our way. His enemies in Italy, a visit for to pay. For they have no king to lead them there, and each town stands alone. The Vikings, they were rich, my boys, we picked them to the bone. We ride with Hawkwood's army, hear the church bells ring. With fire and sword we swarm abroad, and deadly is our sting. We ride with Hawkwood's army, scatter in the woods to wait for better days than these. Our captain is a doughty man, imperious and strong. And if your payments be delayed, he'll not detain you long. Find gentlemen come calling with sack of gold for three, and he who was our friend today is tomorrow's enemy. We ride with Hawkwood's army, hear the church bells ring. With fire and sword we swarm abroad, and deadly is our sting. We ride with Hawkwood's army, down upon your knees, or scatter in the woods to wait for better days than these. at last I'm cut down and the gates of hell await. When I think upon my bloody deeds, I do not doubt my fate. For I must die untrodden here, and I must die alone. My bones upon this dusty plain, so far away from home. We ride with Hawkwood Sonnet, near the church bell ring. With fire and sword I swarm abroad, deadly was my sting. We ride with Hawkwood Sonnet, down upon your knees, or scatter in the woods, to wait for better days than these. We ride with Hawkwood Sonnet, near the church bell ring. With fire and sword we swarm abroad, deadly is our sting. We ride with Hawkwood Sonnet,
Woods Army by Fairport Convention. For me, the best new track off their Sense of Occasion. That's the new album released to mark the 40th anniversary of the band, and their winter tour of the UK is in full swing right now.
And before that, Fairport's own Dave Pegg, along with Little Johnny England's PJ Wright, with Galileo's Apology from their new album of the same name.
And that brings us towards the end of Folkcast 015. We have another song or two to come, but we'll say farewell right now until next month. He's been Ken Nicol.
And the other bloke's called Phil Widows. Full details of all the music and features from the show can be found in the show notes at folkcast.co.uk. A special thanks to the PodSafe Music Network and the Woven Wheat Whispers Music Download Service, and to you for downloading and listening.
Also, at our website, you can find the Folkcast blog, join the Frapper Map, download previous shows, and maybe even make a donation to keep Folkcast rolling along.
Get in touch by emailing us at contact@folkcast.co.uk. And if you'd like to send us some music to play on the show, all the details of how to do that are on the website.
We'll play out with two songs you can put in the singer-songwriter basket. First with My Little Rose, four folk-influenced blokes from Bermondsey in London, who are confusingly called Sing Ladies. And then two women from America, neither of whom are called Maggie, but confusingly are together called Divine Maggies. They're singing about their home in a song called North Carolina.
We'll return on the first Saturday in April with loads more good stuff from the worlds of folk rock, folk music, singer-songwriter and roots. So until then, this is Ken
and Phil saying keep focused on Folkcast and
bye-bye.
In a changing world too. on stage with her favorite tune. She's a mic technique and purse, precious boy. Be thankful for all the things that you don't need. And we'd walk back home, my Nan and me. My little rose tells her apron strings. My bulldog girl in a changing world sings. My little rose abiding as the snow. Stays the same, and I'm ashamed to say that I get so afraid. Hold on tight.